The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we get one more day of Jerome Solomon. And if you're a Dolphins fan, you had a scare today, or maybe you were happy, I don't know. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. Jerome Solomon, the King. Jong Lee, the Master. If you want to get in today, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Jerome Solomon, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday, weekend's almost here. And technically, Thursday's almost the start of the weekend these days. But, we're not there yet, but it's a Friday for Jerome Solomon because it's his last day with us.
Last one. Enjoyed it thoroughly thus far. Today was going to be even more fun.
Well, absolutely, because you can pretty much say whatever you want knowing you've got a foot out the door. So there's that. What's happening today, man?
Nothing. Just relaxing, trying to get a breather. It's like a ball player coming back into the fray. I mean, every day for 3 hours, I was kind of tired last night. I'm like, man, why am I tired here? It's just a little measly 3 hour show. But, I'm not in midseason form.
Well, yeah, you haven't.
Or shape.
You haven't done this in a while where you've had a bunch of them in a row.
Every day. Yeah, exactly.
But it's.
And unlike a lot of hosts on a lot of other stations around town, I won't name any names, all of them. to do this show, you actually have to do show prep. You actually have to put some things together and be ready to go at airtime. That's what makes a 97.5 different from a lot of the others. Or at least, let's not be unfair. They prep. It seems like a lot of the other shows prep for one thing. And that's what they talk about the whole damn show. Here, if we get to 1/10 of the things that I prep for, it's a good day,
Well, that's always the plan. We just always overdo it. We've always tried to do the show a little bit differently. And it's funny, when RJ was on, we talked about it. We kind of treat it more like you would a podcast, in that if you miss something, we're probably not going to get back to it. You try to keep different topics throughout the show. That way, if you've got somebody who's listening to the entire show, they're not going to be like, oh, they already talked about this.
Did
15 minutes on this. My God. And there are times when you have to do that, and there are times we do. But for the most part, we always try to make it to where if you miss something, then you can go catch it back on the podcast and do the on-demand thing. And that seems to be working for us in terms of stream numbers and podcast numbers. So,
cool.
But that's always been the mindset. And I hope that it's the mindset that carries us into the next realm of whatever the way we dispense our content is, because I think a lot of things are heading towards podcasts. Not saying that we're heading towards podcasts, but that's what you're getting here. I hope is a 3 hour podcast where we can't cuss. That's pretty much it. That's the plan.
Well, that's kind of what the value of a podcast is. You can be more of yourself.
Yeah. Well, at some point, we'll get to the FCC. You'll let us actually say. Yeah. I mean, I think we're ourselves. We just have to not say words that we can't say.
Well, see, that's where I'm very limited. And it's a weird thing because I am a writer, so I know that the value of words, and it always cracks me up when people go, oh, you curse because you have a limited vocabulary. Or, like, no, I curse because the word fits. The moment requires that particular word at that time. I know how to use, I can use a dozen words to describe one particular thing. And at a certain time, the 13 letter one fits better than all the others. You know what I mean? Like if I stood up here and, accidentally knock this water bottle over or this Dr. Pepper over onto my computer, darn, wouldn't quite express the feeling that I would have at that moment, you know? Like, golly, gee whiz. It, not quite.
To be fair, both of us have done that. AJ and I have both done that. No cussing.
I know. And you
oh, I wanted
and you
to.
Were straining. You probably
got, son of a
you
man.
Got a hernia trying to hold back from being the you that you actually are. Because if you were at home even sitting on the couch watching a game or something and you did that, oh man, you let it go, right?
So, yeah.
You change what you do. You're still you, but you didn't get to express yourself completely.
It's like when your kids are young. I never cussed in front of my kids when they were young.
Man, I'm dealing with that crap right now.
And when they got to a certain age, now it's no big deal. I mean, one's in college, the other's in high school. They've heard it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's funny because I was talking, my daughter was talking about that. It's like, yeah, I used to never cuss around this when we were young. And it's like, well, yeah, because I didn't want you to start doing that. And plus, you usually had your friends over and then their parents would bitch about it. And it's like, it's just kind of nice that I'm getting it unfiltered now.
Yeah, mine is a unique situation because, as you know, and many of you out there know, I adopted. So, you know, I brought in, you know, 6 and 7 year olds who have already been in the world, and they're very sensitive to cussing. So, you know, we kind of have a rule, you can't cuss. And I'm like, well, but I'm, you know, I'm grown. I, you know, that's how I talk. So even when I, you know, say damn or hell, I have to argue with them. I'm like, well, that's not a cuss word. You know, so that's how silly it's gotten. But there's a reason behind it, and I get it, and I know it, you know, touches them in a certain way to cuss. I'm like, y'all have no idea. And my parents weren't heavy, you know, they weren't heavy on cussing.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly as kids, you couldn't cuss. I still don't cuss around my mama, you know, because, but as soon as I was able to speak,
yeah,
and I was somewhere where there was not an adult. I've been cussing a long time. You know, that's how I express myself.
Yeah, I never do in front of my mom and my grandmother either. But any other time, yeah, and I don't even think about it. Just like when I'm on air, I don't even think about it. I think I've let one slip out. Mm-hmm. And I've said a couple things.
You had to really get
It wasn't that. It was the most casual conversation ever.
Oh.
It was one of those. It wasn't where I was like really mad and I'm, you know, getting in the microphone and it's like this bleeping. Yeah. And it wasn't that at all. I was talking to, you know, AJ and I were talking about MMA and how I used to do Taekwondo and how I couldn't do it now because I couldn't do MMA training because my shoulders are screwed up. And all I was ever any good at was the stand up. And I just dropped an S word right on the end of it out of nowhere. And it was just the most casual conversation. I'm like, holy hell, how did I do that?
I grew up listening to Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, and I just it's part of a natural conversation, and I was never one to say, you know, in many situations to say, this guy. No, you're not a guy. You're something else.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's not, you know. And that's
depends on how you use it. It's like the word dude. You can use it 5,000 different ways. If you do it right.
And I'm forget it. The phrase "this sorry guy" is a weak phrase. You're an editor as a writer, you know. This sorry guy is just weak. This sorry MF, now that brings you into it.
It's it's painting a picture with words, which is what we try to do. That paints a pretty definitive picture.
And
this sorry guy doesn't.
And verbally it's even better because you're like, this sorry. You know, you got to put the tone to it. You got to have some rhythm with it, you know. But not everybody's so comfortable with that.
No, but I in reality, I think there's different times. Like when you and I are having a conversation out over a beer, we're having the same kind of conversations we have on air. There's just a lot of colorful metaphors.
And we don't even notice.
Yeah. It's no different. But
I'm talking to you now, it's like I'm talking to you at a bar. But I guarantee if we recorded at the bar, they're like, whoa, Fred. Yeah.
And there's
you're
a few,
disgusting.
There's a few topics that we get on that we won't get on either. But
thank goodness.
Yeah, no kidding. But the reality is, I mean, I encourage people not to do it. So hopefully,
it's tricky with kids, though.
Yeah,
I'm learning. Like, you know, it really wouldn't bother me if my kids cursed, but what I'm teaching them is you have respect. You don't cuss around anybody that's an adult. You know,
right?
But instead, I can't teach them that. I just got to teach them not to cuss.
713-780 ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And a little bit of a scare for Dolphins fans today. And this is how the new Twitter world we live in, where the first thing you get is a tweet that Ryan Tannehill has left the field with an apparent leg injury to the same knee. And then you start getting more details throughout the day. And then a video comes out of it. And then everybody's speculating, oh, what are we going to do? Who are we going to go sign? Blah, blah, blah. And then turns out, no structural damage. He's fine.
Yeah, that's the world in which we live. But in the world of football, guys get hurt and are out for the season all the time. I'd take a wild guess. What are there, probably 9 or 10 guys already who have just been injured in, you know, OTAs, minicamp.
Well, Fuller yesterday.
Training camp, who are out for the season or long periods of time. Because it's football. It happens. And it'll happen to – there will be quarterbacks who go down.
Tom Savage. if I were putting odds, Tom Savage will be the first. He'll snap something.
The only thing in his defense in that sense is his injuries have all been something different, which – can also be used as a detriment in that said discussion in defending him, because it's like, yeah, so his whole body can break down at any point in time. Based on the number of snaps he takes, he's had far too many injuries for a guy who wants to be a big-time quarterback.
Ramona Shelburne, would you?
Oh, no, God, no. And I love her to death. I know her well.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Please don't record this.
Because she always pops up on there. And
no, she's cool. She's funny. But, no, she's – maybe I'm not her type either.
Well,
because she's not my type. No.
Okay,
she's
just checking.
And she looks she's adorable.
Yeah, I'm just curious. We got a couple of follow up stories for you from things that have happened this week.
Ramona actually looks good on television.
Woody Page does not.
Woody's like 92 years old.
he actually looks like he's aged about 10 years in the last year. Oh, well, either that or he's not wearing his makeup today.
Woody lives hard.
Oh, I know. Hey, Woody was a damn good writer at one time.
He used to be a badass. He was the man. Yeah. Spent a couple drunken nights with Woody in that Olympic venue or two.
Who can put it away better, Woody or Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones is a pro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've only had drinks with Jerry once, and it was like, man, this guy.
I had
this guy is a
couple
professional.
Of different times, and Jerry. But the one interesting thing about Jerry Jones is you can't go, oh, he got drunk and started talking. No, Jerry talks.
Yeah, he talks and then just starts drinking.
Yeah,
as
that
he goes.
Just falls right in. He's not a different kind of drunk than he is a regular person. That's just who he is. Which is, I like, and I know people in here hate him. They mostly hate him because he's the Cowboys owner.
Yeah.
More than anything. But he's a fascinating character. And that Hall of Fame thing coming up this weekend, much deserved.
Yeah, I agree. He deserves to be in. And he is one of those people that I wish you could kind of see how he is socially as opposed to how he is when he's just out selling the Cowboys. Because he's always doing the same thing. He's selling the Cowboys no matter what he's
doing. He's working you regardless.
But he'll also hit 50 things in the middle of two sentences, and you're like, well, really?
And at the combine, you've been on the bus? Love that bus.
Oh, man.
The Cowboys roll up a huge bus to places like the combine, the Dallas Cowboy bus. And it's not like Jerry and his sons are traveling to Indianapolis on the bus. They fly in on private charter. They just need the bus, you know.
Yeah.
Because the bus is a nice party bus. It's pretty cool. I didn't say that's what the bus was for.
Yeah, he wants him some glory hole.
Oh, well, the bus does have a couple of beds and TVs in it. I've been on the old bus, the new bus. It's pretty cool. That would be a good lifestyle I have, where I have a bus follow me around just, you know, in case I need it.
Yeah. Well, you've got enough money now. You're a big star. Quick break and some Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. No AJ, he'll be back tomorrow. Long trip for him, but Jerome Solomon has been filling in all week and doing a great job. I have a couple follow-up stories, but first, man, when people bitch about money that gets spent in sports, did you see the soccer numbers for Neymar?
Yeah.
My goodness.
What was it called? The purchase fee or transfer fee?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the money they pay just to get the privilege to pay him.
Yeah.
Is more than most players are getting paid to play.
Well, I'm going to make John do some math here so he can tell us the exact numbers, but he's going to earn 45 million euros a year. And the transfer fee was 222 million euros. And I think the best part of the story was today, the guys from PSG show up to give a $222 million euro check, and they're like, nope, we don't accept this. And then they finally took it to the team, and it got done, because the league itself couldn't be the one to say, oh, we can't do this. They had no right, but...
Right.
But yeah, just that's just being silly.
Yeah, so that's five years of what he gets paid.
So your team gets 222 million euros, and people are pissed off.
It's $263.5 million.
Okay, so what is 40.7 a year? That would be in the 50s, I would guess. That's pretty stout. So yeah, he's going to make 782,000 euros a week.
No, but my point though is. That transfer fee is 5 years of his salary, basically.
Yeah. Well, and he's got a 5-year deal, so.
Yeah. So that, yeah. I mean, 5 years at that amount, I mean, it's just wow.
I got interested in this.
So they're paying him twice.
But they're not paying him twice. They're paying two of his salaries. One goes to his old team.
They're paying it twice.
It's
split between him and his old team, but it will be the same as if the Rockets went out. And they got Chris Paul, and Chris Paul is now the second highest paid player on the team. He's not making that much compared to the rest of the league. I think he's making $23 million or something this year, 24. But it's like they had to give the Clippers 24 to get Chris Paul for 24. So they'd be paying $48 million for one season for the guy.
And you think about
that. For five seasons. For $40 million.
Chris Paul. Yeah. And Chris Paul in the NBA, where these guys make a lot of money, is making less than half of what Neymar will make.
Half.
If my math is correct, which I don't know if it is.
It's $48.3 million in U.S.
Yeah, less than
40,
half.
40.7 is.
That's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Not at all. But that's one of, also another weird thing about soccer is, like, this tour that they've started these in the last few years. They've done them before, but they really ratcheted them up lately. And we had the one... 2 weeks ago with Man U and Manchester City here in town, they're literally taking NFL preseason games and going to Europe and traveling around playing those preseason games.
And selling them out. Yeah.
And making a fortune for preseason games. Granted, you can play a lot harder in a soccer match than you can play in an NFL game and not risk injury to that extent as you would in an NFL game. But they're still just, as they call them in soccer, friendlies.
But
they're meaningless.
But I think it just goes to show how popular a lot of these teams are. The kind of, I saw jerseys all over the city the day that Man U played Man City, and they've got such a huge following for both of them, and they had that big thing down in Florida I mean, it's cool for fans to get a chance to see these guys, even if it is just preseason, because at least most of the time, you know, Messi will be out there playing, even if he's not going 100%, but you still get to see him.
The only time you get to see him. Yeah. But the thing is that one of the news stations did a deal trying to find jerseys. You can every place in Houston that sells Man U jerseys or whatever, Manchester City jerseys, all out. You couldn't get any at that point because they bought them all up. But you also have a Messi who 70,000 people in Houston would come out to see on a night in an exhibition. And let me see. I mean, Tom Brady, baddest of the baddest. Could you get 70,000 people
in an exhibition
Berlin to go watch Tom Brady play a
think so.
Preseason football, practice football game? And like you said, Messi would play. If the Patriots are playing a preseason game in Berlin, you get a couple of series of Brady, maybe. Yeah,
if that. But it's I just kind of thought it was fascinating. I was listening to Glenn Davis on the way home last night, who is the god of soccer. I mean, he knows more about soccer than anybody. And so it kind of got me interested in the topic when I saw just how much money is being paid. And so Connor says 3 or 4 players in the world command that kind of money. Most soccer players get paid much less. Well, there's, you know, James Rodriguez is like 10th on the list at $22.1 million a year.
Yeah, I'm getting much less, but not big time. Now, if you're talking Dynamo, yeah, they have.
Well, yeah,
Dynamo has starters who make $40,000 a year.
Well, the MLS, though, but
MLS
we're talking
is a different.
Yeah, but we're talking about the guys over in the big leagues over in Europe, where
not the minor leagues, the majors.
Yeah, and Cristiano Ronaldo, $88 million, $56 million in salary, $32 million in endorsements, so. I think it's interesting. And well, you got so many deep-pocketed dudes to buy these teams, too. And I just find it very interesting that that's such a big story, and deservedly so. 713-780-ESPN.
Now, speaking of spending money, we talked about some of this a little bit yesterday, or touched on it anyway, in this new modern era of dating. And there's a Houston man, and he may be riding around listening now. Oh, he might not be riding.
Okay.
He might be listening. Greg Davis. He's a busy man, as the KHOU China 11 story says. And he works 2 jobs, and he doesn't have a lot of time to go out and meet women. So he decided that online dating would, you know, might help him out.
Maybe he was listening to the show and heard us talking about it. And that's why he decided to do it.
He met a girl on Match.com.
Okay.
She was a knockout from Chicago. He introduced herself as Malika. He loved her look. He was smitten. She pursued me, too. So I was like, this is it, he recalled. This is how it works. And their online romance, you know, graduated to emails and phone calls.
Yeah.
And, of course, she sent him some provocative pictures.
Oh, yeah, because that's what they do.
And then one day, in his inbox, she sent a message that her father died and left her millions of dollars overseas.
Uh-oh.
Is that not instant ejection time right there?
All she needed was him to front some cash for some taxes and shipping so she could get her inheritance. It was increments of $5,000 and $10,000, he said.
Oh, no, don't tell me he did it.
I went to Spain trying to pay for the fine that was on the money because the money was in storage, and she had to pay a fine to get it out.
Oh, my God.
By the time Channel 11 spoke to Greg, he had been talking and sending money to Malika for over 2 years. The FBI said that, you know, thousands of Texans have reported such victims in romance scams, and 15,000 people in the country last year, $230 million. And he ended up, our man Greg, his total loss, drained his retirement, maxed out his credit cards, and took out more than a dozen payday loans. Total loss, nearly $80,000. I feel kind of stupid, Greg admits.
Oh, God. Yeah, you should.
He asked for proof that the inheritance was real. Once he started thinking this might be a scam, he was sent a video. In the video, a heavily accented man was holding a stack of cash
Oh. With rows of $100 bills all over and the name, his name, Gregory, printed on each bill. To let him know.
So that at least he got to actually meet Malika in that video.
So he did the in-your-face dance. He sent him a video of it, basically.
Yeah.
Man, I got one of those. I think I got one of those calls today, and I was busy doing something here at the office, and I let it, you know, I missed it, and I called the, like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop answering phone calls from numbers that I don't recognize anymore.
I don't know.
Because I decided to call it back, and it was a... It was a woman, heavily accented, African. It sounded like an African accent, and she was asking what my name was, what I did for. I was like, "Wait, no,
you called you, right,
you called me. What is your name?" Yeah. So I refused to give her anything. And Joel told me Tyler told me apparently that sometimes they might record you saying yes,
and they use that for bank stuff. From local numbers now.
Yes.
It's local numbers, so you're thinking, oh, this must be just somebody who's not in my address book. And you'll answer, I'm with a student loan. I don't have a student loan.
Well,
what are you talking about?
The worst thing, after we got the mortgage on our place, I started getting all kinds of phone calls from numbers about loans and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they're just constant. And a lot of them are from Houston. And it's like, I insta-block them. And if you don't leave me a message, I'm just going to block your number. But it was awful. And then a friend told me there's this app that can screen those out, which I think I need to try. Although it hasn't happened lately.
I probably get 10 of those calls a week from just some random local number. And occasionally I'll answer because I'm waiting on a source. You know, people calling that I wouldn't know their number.
Right.
And, you know, I'm answering and it's, you know, you can always tell when it's some solicitor immediately.
Yeah. What I usually try to do is, I'll tell people, text me if you need me to call you or something. Mm. But if they don't leave a message, then I'm just going to assume it's not anybody I need to talk to. Yeah. So,
But if you have someone that you've never met and you're online and y'all are just chatting and she needs some money to get her real money, her inheritance. Mm-hmm.
Come on. Hey.
Come on, Greg.
We talk about all the positives of the internet. It's also created a whole new market for con men and women, and here you go. But just let this be a PSA. If you're in an online relationship and somebody tells you they have money overseas, but they need money from you to get it, it's a bleeping lie.
Do not send them
a dime. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you
are. ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780, ESPN's your number. Craig B. Astro 69-36, also known as H-Town Texan. Could have been worse. Could have been married those 2 years. Took the 80K and then half everything else when they divorced. And that, no, sir, is how you see a positive in something like that.
No, but the photo she sent was of some foreign porn star. So you married to a foreign porn star for 2 years, you know.
I'm pretty sure there's a place where you can put a stock photo up and it'll tell you it's a stock photo. Just for future reference.
Dude, he got my inheritance is tied up. Can you help me get it out? And fell for that. So clearly he wasn't searching the stock photo.
No,
that's what China 11 did. They're like, oh, we ran the photo and it matches a porn star from somewhere. Some Colombian porn star, some foreign porn.
Good choice. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they picked somebody that he liked, you know. And who knows? They marked his money with his name. So who knows how many other stacks of cash they were getting from
this
around the world.
Jeez.
And I know this is going to be unpopular to a lot of people, but I've always been curious or wondered about the, I guess constitutionality isn't really the right word, but is it right that scams are illegal? I mean, you know, some scams. I mean, if Fred, if I say, hey, Fred, this shirt here, this red shirt that I'm wearing, you know, J.J. Watt wore this a couple of times, and you go, oh, really, J.J. Watt? Well, I'll give you $500 for it. I shouldn't go to jail for that. That you would pay me $500 because I told you J.J. Watt wore this shirt, right? But it's against the law.
How do I know J.J. hasn't worn that shirt? I don't know how close you guys are.
How much you want to give me for it?
It's a nice shirt, but it wouldn't have fit J.J. and it wouldn't fit me either. So I would just shut you down right there. Shut you down.
But somebody would, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, we can't protect people from their own idiocy. I mean,
well, that stuff goes on all the time with memorabilia and everything else and fake signings and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, but
memorabilia, you know, okay, that's an autograph and stuff, and you know, and you're vouching for it. But some of these scams,
but if you're going to fake an autograph, aren't you going to fake the certificate too?
I'm just curious. Yeah, I mean,
it's like, no, I've got a certificate
if
here.
If you're crazy enough to pay money for an autograph, then you're taking. It's like the car. You're buying it at your own risk or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I know there's some of this stuff
you
has
like taking,
to be illegal.
You want to take advantage of stupid people is what you
no,
want to do.
No, I don't want to. I'm just saying it's hard for me to feel sorry for him. Did you see the story the other day out of Denver where these guys sold a bag of broccoli for $10,000. Because he told the morons who bought it that it was marijuana. Well, the two morons who bought it got home and realized, hey, this isn't marijuana. This is broccoli. So they went back. They made another appointment with him the next day using other names to go get their money or real marijuana. And he brought more broccoli. And there was a shootout and, you know, guys got shot and...
So it had a happy ending is what you're telling me.
No. Actually, the broccoli seller was the one who did the shooting.
Oh, okay. So not only did he get their money with broccoli, he shot him up.
But nobody died. The thing that jumped out at me, though, was he was charged with second-degree attempted murder and distributing an imitation controlled substance. So they charged him for selling broccoli and claiming it was marijuana. How is that against the law? If you're stupid enough to buy my broccoli and think it's marijuana, that's your problem. That's not a government problem. That's not a society problem. That's your problem. I mean, it may be an education system problem, but, you know.
Exactly.
How do you not? How can you not tell the difference between broccoli and marijuana?
Boy, if I'm spending 10 grand on something, now, unless they're buying a whole bunch of it with intent to distribute.
It's tight and it's, well, yeah, but still, but it's broccoli.
See, that would be easy for me because I hate broccoli. I'd sniff that out in a heartbeat. But no, it's the reality is a lot of people are easily swayed. There's very persuasive people out there. That's why con men have been in existence from the beginning of time. And
second oldest profession.
It's oldest perfection in the world. But I think you got to be careful with stuff like that. Not when you're buying your weed. Obviously, you need to trust your weed dealer before you go paying $10,000 for it. I'll just throw that out there. Make sure you get some cheaper stuff first.
Now, I fully understand that you would be quite upset if you paid $10,000 for broccoli.
You'd have to pay me $10,000 to eat broccoli. That's how I feel about broccoli.
What you got against broccoli?
I can't stand it. All right, so I have one follow-up from Joel and Barry's show that I wanted to address because they were talking about 80s movies and Molly Ringwald and whether or not she was attractive, mm-hmm. like whether or not you would. And at the time, I would have said no. Wasn't my thing. But I have to admit, sometimes it happens with men all the time. They age and look better. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen with women all that often.
It happened with Molly.
I saw her very recently on a show where she was a talk show guest. I would. No doubter now.
Okay. I pull
like
her
an
up
Aaron on. Judge home run. Now, she was made up and...
I pull her up on Twitter and she's got a a picture where you can just see, you know, a profile side of her face and a little shoulder, which, you know, she's hiding stuff.
I'm trying to find a better picture. No, this was the full body.
But she looks better. No, in a sense, I'm sure she looks better than she used to. She wasn't really my type. Oh, no, nah, Fred. Because here she is. She's in some show called Riverdale, season one.
Yeah.
If you go to her Twitter, Molly Ringwald, W-A-L-D, and you hit media, the second photo is a picture of her from her show. She looks like somebody's aunt, Fred.
Well, I'm old. I like older ones. I like somebody's aunt.
No. I like some aunts too, but not this one.
She looked pretty,
She
looked pretty good on the show.
Last August.
This was today, actually, that she was on it. And she was made up nice. So I'm going to say, okay, as long as she looks.
Maybe it was
now,
today.
I also have to say, most of these women that are, well, even younger ones, man, if they're not made up for TV and you see them in person sometimes, you're like, eh.
Go to her Twitter and scroll through, and you'll see that whatever you saw today is not fully representative of Molly. Because there are a bunch of other pictures. And these are glamour shots. This is the best she can look. And, well, I think it would change your opinion.
It's not your flavor.
No, I don't think it's your flavor, you know, either. Not sober. No. I think I can change your mind.
Okay, well, definitely not in the 80s. She was not my flavor.
So. She had some goofy-looking hair back then. You know.
I'll tell you, she
was a good actress.
She's lost weight. Funny. She's lost weight from some of these photos I'm looking at here.
Okay. See, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, maybe today she looked
unless they were using the old camera angle trick, which could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she's significantly thinner than.
No, she actually looked like somebody's great aunt.
I'd be fine with it. All right. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Yeah, I like Weezer. I like Cheap Trick. But the more I listen to their songs, almost all of them are basically just stalker songs. Just passing that on for those of you who listen to those guys. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. And if you're hearing Spanish music, hopefully that's about to be taken care of. So if you're hearing Spanish music, you're not hearing us.
Excelente.
So you didn't hear me say that. ¿Cómo se dice? Really, really dumb, Fred, in Espanol. Update on Ryan Tannehill. Said there was a hopeful report, but he's not in the clear yet, according to Armando Salguero. You friends with him?
Armando's all over everything. No, I'm not, but he's...
he knows his stuff.
He's a serious Dolphins insider. He knows his stuff.
MRI on Tannehill's knee came back inconclusive, he writes. He hears that all options remain on the table, including surgery. He will go for a second opinion, adds Albert Breer of the Monday Morning Quarterback. So that's where it stands as of now. Texter asks, in your opinion, who is the hottest redhead? I'm all about Emma Stone. I think she is, and not that she's hot. She's really cute. But, man, there's something about her that makes her seem a lot hotter than she is, at least to me. I'm a big fan. But I do have one more follow-up story for the people. We were talking the other day, actually yesterday, about how guys always feel like they've outkicked their coverage and women never really say that. Well, we have a study now that kind of explains this a little bit.
Okay.
According to the study, women are a lot happier when their man is uglier than they are. Researchers at Florida State University evaluated the relationships of 113 newlywed 20-something couples. They wanted to figure out if attractiveness plays a role in overall happiness. And
And men are more miserable by far.
Well, that's just in general. But there was another research study they had that suggested a combination of a hot wife and an ugly husband makes for a great marriage. This validates that. They answered questionnaires about their personal desires to diet and be fit and sexy, and then they were ranked on desirability based on face and body attractiveness. The results revealed that women who had attractive husbands were more likely to diet and constantly try to lose weight in order to look better.
To keep up.
Yeah, which is not fun. And basically, the women who had not so hot husbands didn't feel the need to diet all the time and incessantly compete with other women. In other words, if you have a hot husband and you're not constantly taking care of your body,
you're happier.
No, he's going to go do something else. So that's what they're worried about.
If he's a hot husband, then you're not.
Instead of worrying about looking as sexy as their husbands all the time, they get to enjoy being happy.
If your husband is fat and sloppy, you don't have to worry about him going out?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, apparently. But the results reveal that having a physically attractive husband may have negative consequences for wives, especially if those wives are not particularly attractive. The research suggests that there might be social factors playing a role in women's disordered eating. So if you have a hot husband, you're going to have eating disorders. That's kind of what it's telling you. So I think this is good news for all of us ugly men out there that women prefer guys like us.
No, it didn't say they prefer. It said they would be happier. Well, so you can use that as a pickup line. I know I'm ugly, but you'll be happier.
Well, that's what matters. So that's a study done at Florida State University. Now, I don't trust anything.
So what am I supposed to walk up and say? You want Brad Pitt or you want to be happy?
Well, I think they want Brad Pitt for the moment. And then when they're done, they'll come be happy with you. That would be I guess how it would turn out. But see, I think this explains something that, this is a sociological issue that was brought up on the show. And I wanted a follow up. And we did.
I haven't had the follow up to that. All men rejoice because their wives are hotter than they are. That's a study just done by me.
Okay, so...
Scientific.
Yeah, scientific.
So you studied...
An Asian did it. So it has to be scientific,
you
got to
believe,
right?
Those numbers.
Yeah.
So based...
University of Houston grad and Korean, Jong Lee, has done research that says all men agree with that study that... or all men say that they don't care, that they care that their wives are hotter than they are.
Makes them happier.
But
they live happier lives.
Right. Yeah, men are happy for it, too.
Well, yeah, but why is it that men aren't worried about their hot wives sleeping around on them?
Oh, they're worried about it, but so?
Yeah, it's not much you can do.
Well, according to this study, the next person they're going to be with is going to be harder than them as well. So it's kind of like you're winning, right?
Fair enough. Plus, they get old at some point. You got to trade them in.
And then
so there's that.
A lot of people say that men age better than women, so.
Well,
that's been changing a little bit. Well, I don't know if that's been changing. I do think that that's a male-centric view of the world.
Of course.
To turn that into what that is. But
it's true.
Especially white women. And we talk about these things as if we're talking about the real world, when most of the time we're talking about actresses or stars.
Right.
And I'm telling you, for a lot of white actresses, they look a lot better later than they did younger to me, because... But I don't find skinny, buttless.
Well, that's the thing.
They don't do much for me. Then later on, you're like, hey,
When they fill out a little bit. They fill out a little bit as they get older. But I always think it'd be better to have a wife that people would want as opposed to one they wouldn't. Then you probably didn't get a very good wife, right? It's like,
You didn't outkick your coverage. Your kick got blocked.
Exactly. If that's the case.
Unblock.
That's the case, yeah. And it's going the other way. And all you can do is sit there and watch. Hopeless. All right. Hey, guys. Whoever you're with, you should be sleeping on a mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. Because let me tell you what. The quality they make over there with this pocketed quad coil system is through the roof. It allows air to flow throughout the bed. It gives you a cooler sleep. Especially, we got the hottest time of the year coming up here in the next couple weeks. It's going to help you sleep better because it keeps that surface cool. The Paris and London beds are perfect for this. Cooler, eco-friendly, and they all start as low as $788. And if you think about what you're getting here, they make the mattresses right there at Texas Mattress Makers. They sell them directly to you. So if you're going to a retail store, they're marking it way up. They might have even bought the mattresses from Texas Mattress Makers. And you're not going to get them custom fitted there. You're going to spend a bunch of money. Don't do that. Go get those savings right now. Go see Yuval. Go see Lax. Go see Rachel. Tell them, hey, I heard about this on the Blitz. I want to save money. I want to sleep better. And they're going to take care of you. How about this? You got somebody coming in. You can get a guest bed. Quality twin sets starting as low as $240. How about that? It's all American made too. Texas size savings. Great people. And what I love about them the best is not only are they going to put you on the best bed they possibly can, save you a bunch of money in the process, but they're also huge in the community. They do all kinds of cool charity stuff. And they're just good people, the kind of people that I am proud to do business with. And I guarantee you there will never be anything but a mattress from Texas Mattress Makers in my place. And that's until the day I die. Go visit them today. Texas Mattress Makers, 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.